I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Tonight, we're offering a unique Good Vibrations radio show, especially recorded for this New Year's Eve as we go from 2011 to 2012. We hope you enjoy it, and Happy New Year.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on AM 540 KRXA.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Now, Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the support of Jacqueline Joy and Diamond Alignment, and Liliana Bethany and Nolan Matthew from Seventh Awakening. Before we talk with our guest this evening, Kirilani will share with us the energy of the week, the month, and the year in her Go With The Flow.
Thanks, Solazar. Well, 2012, what a year we have in store for us. It's going to be a little bit of a wild ride, because every year around June or July, we talk about how fast the energy of those months move. Well, 2012 is that same energy. It is an energy about speed. So if you're one of those people who likes going fast, you're going to like 2012. And for the rest of you, put on your seatbelts, because it's going to move in a blink of an eye. If we look at how fast December has gone by, the rest of the year of 2012 is going to be even faster. So you want to make sure that just heading out of the gates, that you got yourself lined up going in the direction that you want to go from New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. So let's talk a little bit more about what this year is going to be like. And I think of it as a fast-moving river. And you can't hold back this river, because it is strong and powerful, and it is going to bowl you over if you want to stand there and try to hold back the river. So it's an energy that is so powerful that you can't control it. And if you're a control freak, that might freak you out a little bit, but you just need to know that this is the year, if any, to definitely go with the flow. And you want to make sure that you're not trying to fight the current, that you're actually flowing with the river. You also want to make sure that you're staying and keeping your focus headed down the river in front of you, to watch what's coming in front of you so that you can quickly adjust. Because as things are going to come toward you, they're going to move very rapidly, and you need to be able to make decisions in a split instance, or you're already past your opportunity to adjust. So if you were heading down river in a kayak, let's say, and it's very fast moving, and you see rocks up in front of you, you need to adjust immediately. You want to be able to do the same thing as things come toward you and never look back, because then you're going to miss those rocks and slam right into them. And if you, for some reason, get thrown out of your kayak because you get a little off balance and you tip over, you want to make sure that you're getting back in the kayak as quick as possible. So balance is going to be a key tool as we go through 2012. And you want to make sure that in the moment, you just keep rebalancing. It's a little bit, if you think of this energy of 2011, it was about limitless potential and possibility. And for a lot of people, that was an unusual energy that we weren't used to. And it felt like you never quite got your feet on solid ground. Well, it was all training wheels for 2012, because it's going to be a similar energy. Everything's moving so quickly that you may not feel like you have your feet solidly under you, and yet you have to keep moving forward in each moment. When you're balancing, you want to just make subtle movements, because anything really drastic is going to take you further off balance. Just gentle, subtle movements. And one of my teachers once told me that with energy, a feather is as powerful as a tool as a Mack truck. So know that you can use that subtle energy of the feather to adjust yourself to get yourself back into balance. And one of the best tools for doing that in the moment is simply breathing. So if you're feeling a little bit frenzied, if you're feeling a little stressed, just go back and breathe into that area around your heart. And immediately, oh, I feel like it's working for me. Immediately, your whole body starts to synchronize to those rhythms and helps you stabilize. And in that place, you will be able to make better decisions as things are coming at you very rapidly. Now, just as if you are gliding down this river, each turn is going to be very new. So it's not the same as if you were in the Olympics and running the course for the giant slalom, where you know that there's going to be a certain number of turns. You're not going to be able to anticipate what the second or third turn is going to be, because as each turn completes, different opportunities are going to manifest. That is something that we saw in 2011. With this energy of limitless potential unfolding in front of us, we can't plan as far out in the future as we maybe used to be able to do even a decade ago, because new opportunities are always going to be presenting themselves to us. So be open, have a flexible plan, but be open for those opportunities so you can take advantage of them in the moment. 2012 is going to be a year that's very much about action. It is not a year that you can play sitting on the couch. So know that you're going to have to get out there, be in movement, be in interaction with other people. It's a very active energy. And to take the most advantage of it, if you're out there, know that those opportunities are going to come in the form of relationships and connections with other people, because we're in a millennium that is all about relationships. It's all about our interconnectedness. 2012 is going to be a year of change and expansion and growth and adventure and freedom. So it's a year to put a mantra up on the wall saying change is good and repeat it to yourself every day. Because if you can embrace that change as it comes forward to you, instead of waiting for the universe to drag you through the mud to let go of those things that no longer serve you, or to hit you over the head with a 2x4 to get your attention, you can avoid all of that if you just simply keep your eyes headed downriver and watch the things that are coming toward you. Be in a state of balance so you can take advantage of those new opportunities, that you are willing to change each thing in the moment, that you're willing to die to who you think you are in the moment to become who you truly are that you've been hiding from yourself. So change is really a catalyst that starts the whole process. And as we change, we tend to expand our perspective. We expand our horizons. We go beyond the limitations and the barriers that we've had in place of what we thought we could do, of what we thought was possible. So whatever you left behind this year of 2011 of your remaining limitations, those are going to come up in 2012 to ask you, are you going to argue for these limitations, or are you willing to have the courage to expand beyond them? And as we expand beyond our limitations, it gives us all kinds of additional energy to be able to utilize to help fund this new way of being in the world. So it really gives us more opportunities if we can expand and learn new things. The expansion can be through our point of view of a situation, of seeing greater connections. And if you can look in your life and maybe do an exercise, take a little notepad with you, and as you go through the day, jot down those things that feel like they give you more energy, that make things feel lighter, that make you feel more expansive. And as you get in touch with what those things are, structure your life so you can spend more time doing those things. That alone helps start shifting the energy in the direction where you're flowing with the universe. As we expand, we are naturally growing. We are growing in our understanding of ourselves, of our interactions with others, of the universe. We learn new things and we make additional connections that allow us to better understand why things are happening in our lives, to see the gifts in those things. As we do that, life becomes much more of a fun adventure. And I think that brings us to our second quote for 2012, that life is nothing if not a grand adventure. And 2012 is going to be an amazing adventure no matter what direction it goes. So it's certainly not a year that you're going to get bored. And ultimately, it is pushing us toward a whole new level of freedom. So if we have the courage to move past any of those limitations that we have carried over the threshold from 2011 into 2012, this gives you that opportunity to push past those and to say, I declare myself to be free. And when we do that, then life takes on this whole new level of adventure. That is the flow of the energy. And I wanted to remind people, the first 6 months of the year is all the creative cycle of the year. So that is this opportunity to plant these seeds that allow us to expand and grow. And it's slightly different from other years because more so we are building upon whatever you planted in 2011. That was this fertile ground for limitless potential and possibilities. So you're now in 2012 expanding on whatever you planted, whatever you voted for, where your time went, where your energy went, where your money went, what you talked about, what you think about, what you feel, what you're passionate about, all those things. So if you're like most of us, there's a lot of good things in there. But there's probably some seeds that you would have chosen not to plant if you were being a little bit more conscious. Well, 2012 gives us the opportunity to transform those and to really reseed and make it a much more pristine picture. So we asked you in 2011, what do you want a limitless amount of? 2012 asks you that same thing, because any of those seeds you planted, 2012 is going to be like putting Miracle-Gro on them, and they are going to expand tremendously. So it's very important as we go through this creative cycle to really focus on all of those seeds and making sure that they are the highest level, that they reflect who you truly are, what you truly want for this world at the highest level of what is possible. I want to share with you some of the vibrational tools that you can work with as we go through the year that align with this energy of expansion and growth and freedom and adventure and embracing change and moving into action. You can work with colors, you can work with stones, you can work with aromatherapy. So the colors are pink, any color of pink, raspberry, and sepia. For aromatherapy, you can work with lemon, gardenia, and plumeria, and stones that you could get like a little pocket stone just to hold and align with that energy is carnelian or blue lace agate. And both of those are good to get just real small stones. So you can work with these tools either by wearing those colors, or you can just print out sheets with the colors that you bring with you, and just spending a few minutes looking at that color will help align you to them. We talked about the aromatherapy. I think that's pretty self-evident, but you could get candles with those scents or get essential oils. You can also then put lemon in your water, and by drinking that lemon, it helps align instantly with that vibration. So play with it, have fun, see what works for you. But that's a little bit what this whole year is about. If that energy of 2012 is nothing else, it's about infusing fun into your life. So if you're one of these recovering overly serious people who might be in the camp with me, well, you know, this is the year to make time to play, to make time for fun, to say, how can we even make our work fun and play, and infuse that into every day? Because part of freedom is letting go of that self-imposed jailer that we all have inside that keeps us, I guess, on one level disciplined. But on the other side, I think it ends up being the voice of every critical parent and every teacher who said that we weren't enough and every person that we've ever recorded in the back of our mind who said, oh, not good enough, not strong enough, not tall enough. I think Salazar has a Sister Josepha memory that reminds him of that. And this is the time, if we didn't let go of it in 2011, to let all of those things go, because the bars that we've created in our life, we created, and we can simply realize that they're all an illusion and free ourselves to go out and play in the sun. So that, Salazar, is our Go With The Flow. And I just want everyone, as they launch into this year of 2012, to go into it with the intention that this can be the most wonderful adventure of a year, that it's filled with laughter and fun and play and wonderful relationships, and everything that is new can be better than anything you've known before. And let it be so.
So it is. So thank you, Kirilani, for sharing all of that with us. Our guest tonight is Stuart Wild. Stuart Wild is considered by many to be the greatest living metaphysician in the world today. In the last 12 years, he's had over 100,000 visions, which have taught him a vast body of information not available elsewhere. Many of the most famous New Age, New Thought writers and teachers have privately studied with him, or they've been greatly influenced by his work. In this extended interview this evening, Stuart shares his visions for 2012, his guidance for how we can continue our journey of awakening and enlightenment, and his recommendations for maintaining your light when all around seems to be darkness. Let's welcome Stuart Wild to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be on your show.
Thank you, sir. We're very happy to have you. And so we wanted to start by emphasizing that you've been a pioneer in the human potential movement for many decades, and you're considered the world's leading metaphysician. So with 2012 upon us, there's uncertainty in some places. There's fear, and in some places, elation about what 2012 holds for humankind. What do you believe we can expect in the year 2012?
Well, one of the things that, of course, is blatantly obvious is that there's going to be continued financial crises of one kind or another, because the European nations are broke. Most of the European banks are on the verge of going belly up. And the American banks were saved by the Federal Reserve, but they were saved to the tune of $100 billion here and $80 billion there. I mean, massive amounts of money, way more than their entire capitalization. So the world financial banking system is really on its last legs, and it can't really take any kind of major hit. So for example, if we had a California earthquake, that would really sort of stuff the world overnight, or any major something that happens. One of the things that is a developing story right now, as we come to the New Year's, is the business of Iran, because the Americans and Israel have passed sanctions, and Europe as well, on Iran, not allowing them to export their oil. And so Iran have retaliated by running exercises, military exercises, in the Gulf of Hormuz, through which a lot of the world oil passes. And so what they're essentially saying is, look, if you won't let us sell our oil, we're going to stuff you and make sure you can't ship yours. And that could be a major crisis that could develop. Literally, it's one rocket away from starting. So if they open fire on a tanker, it isn't going to close the Straits of Hormuz per se, but what it'll do is it will escalate insurance rates to where it won't be feasible for those tankers to go up and down the Straits of Hormuz, because the premiums they'll have to pay will be so extraordinary. So we can see oil going to $150 a barrel, even $250 if the straits are closed for a long time. And that would really, really affect the economies of the world. So we're looking at a world that's fraught. I mean, these crazy guys all want to go to war. And it's nuts because nobody can afford a war, neither in America nor Europe. And we're not really in a position for any more wars. What we really got to do is get out of the wars. I saw a YouTube of Ron Paul earlier today where he's talking about, you know, the government spending $1 trillion on war. And he's saying we've got to get out of these wars. And he's right. You know, a country can't afford to go to war if it doesn't have a surplus with which to pay for that war.
Well, as the mindset seems to be more like a mental mindset that's really more like a cancer. In other words, the mindset seems to be doing or taking actions that are intent on destroying the body politic, but destroying itself the way a cancer does.
It's very true, and I think that's a very sort of fine assessment of it. I mean, you see recently the Congress and the Senate passed a law allowing the authorities to arrest people without trial or evidence and hold them indefinitely and so forth. And, I mean, that of itself is an extreme fascist act. And, I mean, that is martial law. It's over once the Fifth Amendment doesn't apply. And what kind of insanity can 93 senators have inside their minds to vote for a law that gets rid of habeas corpus, that gets rid of the right to a fair trial? I mean, it would be so cool if somebody could go and arrest those 93 senators and keep them in jail for a week and not allow them to make phone calls to their families or their lawyers and then let them out and say, you see, guys, this is what you've given the American people. And are you aware of the fear and the insanity of keeping people and torturing them and abusing them without trial? I mean, that's stuff that we all take for granted, just normal human rights that have been around since the time of the Magna Carta in the 11th century. We've had the business of there has to be evidence, there has to be a trial, a fair trial, and decide if a person's guilty or innocent. I mean, I read a thing the other day that says that if you stock food for more than 7 days worth of food, you can be considered a terrorist under this new law. So anybody that's like, I don't know, got 3 months with the tin cans in the garage could be considered sort of antisocial or anti the authorities or in keeping with terrorist organizations. And all you got is a few, you know, 100 tins of beans. So it's really strange. It is. It's a cancer. It's a cancer where the forces of control realize that they're losing control because they wouldn't need these swinging laws if it wasn't for the fact that they're scared. So they're scared that their world is collapsing and that there will be riots in the streets and civil unrest and social movements of one kind or another. So essentially it's the insanity of control and it's the insanity of a fascist mindset that doesn't seem to have any remorse. It just does what it does.
Do you see that 2012, we've all heard about December 21st, 2012, and the prediction of the Mayan calendars, and we've also heard on the other side that there is this Age of Enlightenment or Age of Aquarius coming upon us. So when you talk about the fascist entities feeling that they're losing control, is this because there is an enlightenment coming to humankind? Are we becoming more aware and more ready?
Yeah, that's very accurate as well. I write a blog on stuartwild.com, and on there just a couple of days ago, I said that with the rise of fascism, you're going to see in people ever more light. It's almost like the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter the more the darkness closes in. So there is definitely an age of enlightenment, and there's a sort of glow, a golden glow, that is available to people that want to step up to it and that have a kindness and a softness in their heart, and they don't ever have any real rancor. You know, I say love your tormentors, love the Nazis, love the guys stomping up and down the street with their black boots, and stay in that glow, because it's true. The light is becoming brighter because the darkness is getting darker. And so in each side of, in, so inside, just say that again, so inside each of us is the ability to bring forward ever more molecules of the God force, ever more molecules of the light. And then the Mayan thing, it's fine, but you know, the Mayan was a really rinky-dink culture, and they couldn't predict their own demise. I mean, they got completely rubbed out in 700, 800 AD, more or less. And it's believed that they were slaughtered by an uprising of the slaves that killed the priests and the aristocracy and the kings, and that's how the society ended. So their calendar couldn't predict their own demise, and so I really, really doubt that it can predict the end of the world. And certainly the Mayan calendar does not say the world's going to end. It just says its calendar is going to end. But maybe all you need to do is go to the shops and get a new calendar.
There were apparently 64 other codices that were destroyed, that are known that were destroyed, so we actually don't know if there was another one that came after.
Yeah, I mean, do we know what those codices said? I mean, did they say, after this calendar, here's the new calendar, or what was said in those codices, or were they just lost and nobody knows what they said?
The only part that I'm aware is that the Jesuits destroyed them as being books of Satan. So what was in them is not known. It wasn't recorded. They were just destroyed.
Shame. We've been good to know. But yeah, I mean, I think the chance of the world ending in December 2012 is absolutely zip, zero, nada, nothing, not at all, you know?
I'm sorry you don't feel strongly about that.
No, not at all. But I can see the world as we know it changing very dramatically, because this sort of rise of fascism, unemployment, social unrest, troops in the streets, arrests without trial, collapsing markets, you could see how it could go really pear-shaped quite quickly. And one rocket in the Straits of Hormuz, and we'd be looking at a whole different game. It would be a game-changer. And so this year could be a year of wildly swinging markets and extremes of volatility. And people may feel like the world is ending, but it's just the emotions they have around the world that we've got for now, you know?
Well, is there something that you could recommend to people as a way to prepare themselves, perhaps even more spiritually? How can they ensure that they march on their path of enlightenment or awakening or more toward the light as they go through this external darkness?
Well, I was just writing an article for my website, and I was saying that this year coming is the year of retreat for us to pull back and stay inside what we know and what is comfortable and what we can easily control. So that may be downsizing, selling the cars. Recently, we've sold all our cars, our gas cars, and replaced them with diesel cars, because if there is an oil crisis, the diesel will last longer than the petrol or gasoline. And gasoline is very expensive to store because you have to have special tanks with special regulations that are very expensive. Whereas you can store diesel in just a plastic tank, any old plastic tank, a 500-gallon tank or a 1,000-gallon tank. I mean, they're very cheap to buy. And so practical things are good, like storing gas, getting rid of all the surplus, downsizing, getting in control of your finances. I mean, I've been telling people for a long time to buy gold, and a lot of them bought it at $600, $700, $800, $900 an ounce, and many of them sold out at $1,700, $1,800. It's since come back a bit, and the reason the gold has come back is because all of these various banks that are so broke are selling the gold to stay afloat. So it doesn't really matter where they bought the gold. They just want to get the money to keep going. But bank failures will be common. And I think we could see a very big European bank go down any minute now. There's some rumors around various banks, and I suppose I shouldn't say online which ones, because it would be slightly salacious, but there's some very big banks in Europe that are thought to be on their last legs. So we could see the world as we know it changing, but I do not believe that the planet's going to stop spinning around. And then, hey, you know, you've got to stay calm, you've got to meditate, you've got to get in control. No mind, no emotion, just walk like the Taoist sages would walk, very calmly and carefully through life, and get ready, you know, get ready for pulling back, because we are not going to advance financially this year particularly, and we're not going to advance you know, emotionally or politically, but we can certainly advance to a great extent spiritually, because the light can grow and grow and grow. And that light is grace, and that grace has information in it. And so people will see visions, and they'll understand intuitions and inklings, what to do and where to go.
Well, speaking of seeing visions, you've actually been a pioneer in the process that I think you call the morph.
Yes.
Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that and the idea of the physical world, the solid world, and perhaps what reality truly is.
Well, I first saw the morph about 12 years ago, and the room went very soapy. And I was with a group of friends at a seminar in my house in Australia, and they started to get these fractal colored patterns, colored geometries on their skin. And it was all over their arms and their face and their shoulders, and it was intensely, intensely beautiful. And then after the fractal patterns were there for a little while, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, then the people began to partially or totally dematerialize. And we found we could sort of put our finger into somebody else's head and have the finger disappear along with their head. And we watched the walls, and the walls were all soapy, and they started to disappear, and solid reality became not solid. And that transformation, I called it the morph, because it's how reality morphs into something else. But inside the morph is a doorway into these other worlds, the fractal geometric worlds. The whole of our world is mathematics. So every leaf is a fractal geometry. And if people are not familiar with fractals, they can go on Google and search for animated fractals, and they'll start to see these intensely beautiful colors like the Mandelbrot set, the Juliet set, and so forth. And that's what our reality is made up of. It's made up of these geometric patterns. And that's your little finger, and it's the, you know, the feathers on the wing of a little bird, and it's the tooth of a lion, and it's an acorn. It's all the same geometric patterns. So once we could see inside the morph, I found I could go into trance and look into these other worlds. And I named them the Aluna Mirror Worlds. Aluna is a South American shaman's word for of the moon. So they were saying they were reflective worlds, like the same way as the moon reflects light, the light of the sun. And so there is a mirror dimension opposite us that in the morph or in trance you can see. And I discovered that it's just very, very close to the end of your nose. If you outstretch your arm, the Aluna Mirror Worlds start halfway between your elbow and your wrist. That's how close they are. So the Heaven Worlds are there, 18 inches from your nose, and the Hell Worlds are 18 inches from your nose, and the Middle Worlds and the Limbo Worlds are 18 inches from your nose. It's all there, another reality that's very, very close. And the more I came to see that reality, the more I understood dimensions, which are vectors, they're directions. And later, mathematically, in 2005 approximately, the scientists that were investigating string theory came to understand mathematically that that dimensions are directions. So it's been proved mathematically. So what we could see, or what I could see in the morph, became a scientific fact later. But of course, when I could see it, I didn't have the mathematics to describe what I'm seeing. I could just see it and say, hey, dimensions are vectors, they're directions.
There are some that say there is no polarity or no duality. There is no right, wrong, good, evil, heaven, hell. But when you talk about 18 inches from our nose, you did specifically say that there is a heaven, there is a hell. Are those mutually exclusive, or are those one and the same?
No, I mean, they could very well be one and the same. And so you're looking, let's say, the top half is celestial, the bottom half is hellish. But they are definitely opposite each other. And there's definitely a war going on between the forces of the light and the forces of dark. So to say they don't exist is not accurate. The hell worlds exist very definitely. And what I found out and what I was taught very, very early on is that all humans have a mirror world double, like a doppelganger. So you have an identity in these worlds. And that doppelganger or mirror world double, mirror world self, I call it sometimes in my writings, is alive right now, and it is already in the celestial worlds or in the middle worlds or in the hell worlds while you're walking along shoving a trolley at the supermarket. You're already in one of those states. So humans don't die and go to hell. Their physical brain stops recording information, and their mirror self is already in hell, already in heaven, depending on what kind of life they've led.
Do you believe in the idea of a reincarnation where this consciousness comes back in a new physical presence?
In those lunar mirror worlds, there's a box. Every single person has this box, which I gave it the title, the logo box. And the logo box is situated behind them. So if you're facing north, the logo box is in the direction of south. And that is your spiritual identity. That is your mirror self-identity. In that logo box are all your thoughts and feelings and actions of this life. And there are definitely incarnations in those boxes. Whether that proves that every single person has had many incarnations, I've never seen that as proven. But there is an assumption that that is the case. And certainly the influence of those beings that you were before is in that box. So if you were, I don't know, let's say a French chef in the 1800s, maybe, you know, in this world, you'd be have a predilection to working in the kitchen and working with foods, or at least you'd know about them and you'd be familiar. And you might be very keen on France and go there and study their culture and so forth. So reincarnation is a fact. I don't think that we go through 1,000 lives like the Buddhist sort of wheel of fortune and misfortune. The lives in the logo box are less. I mean, I'd say something like, again, this is a guesstimate, but 5 to 7 lives, and that's it. And by the time you've done that, you've had it with the birth plate and you want to move on to other things. Been there, done that, 7 lives, totally exhausted, absolutely ugly, quite nice sometimes, get me out of here, you know, and that's it.
Yes, I have run into people in this life who have told me, this is my last one.
Well, I hope that they get what they want, you know, because sometimes this world can be very tough and painful.
I'd like to now move a little backwards with that information, and noticed that you've done several books. Perhaps this would be a good tool for people in this coming year, is the 3 Keys to Self-Empowerment.
That was just a little booklet that included Silent Power and a couple of other books of mine. And it's a lot to do with the etheric life force field around your body, because mm-hmm. every human has this life force. Now, in the olden days, the theosophists called it the aura, and that was fine, and they talked about the colors of the aura, you know, purple and indigo and blue and green and orange and yellow and red and so forth. But the life force field, the etheric field, is way more complex than some pretty colors. It very much describes your tensile strength, your ability, your calm, and your it's sort of a statement of who you are. And so I tell people calm, meditation, introspection, walking in the forest, vegetarianism, I promote that. You know, I think that's a very good idea for people. And because it's good karma not to kill things. And that etheric field is a statement of who you are. And that is where your light is expressed. So a person that has a lot of light has a very fast-moving etheric field, which we refer to, and other writers refer to, as their resonance. And that quick resonance, that fast resonance, is what protects you from incoming evil or danger. So, yes, I think that's very important. And I wrote a book called Developing the Sixth Sense, and I talk a lot about how to use various techniques to develop your sensitivity so that you develop a heightened sense of awareness, a heightened state of feelings. Of course, to do that, you have to be calm, because if you're bouncing off the wall, all the information you're getting from your mind and from your feelings may be inaccurate because you're too emotional to sit calm. But yeah, those 2 books, The Keys to Self-Empowerment, was a successful. It was a triumph as a little book. And so was the Developing the Sixth Sense book. You know, they, people liked that because they could relate to the idea of increasing their power and their perception.
And as you mentioned earlier, people can go to stuartwild.com to find those books. There's also 2 that you specifically did on money. So during this coming year, should people be concerned what they're doing about their with their money as kind of the infrastructure around us collapses? You have The Trick to Money is Having Some, and The Little Money Bible.
Yeah, they were very successful books. The main thing for people to know in 2012 is that the markets are going to go insane. I mean, up 300, down 500. I mean, it's going to flash around like crazy. And I've been telling people for quite a few years now, more than 10, that they should cash in their pensions, because a lot of the pension funds are invested in equities, and there's no knowing where equities might go. I mean, they could easily drop by half. So equities isn't a good idea, and I suggest to people that they buy gold. And of course, down here, where it is right now, at like the mid-1500s, is a good time to buy, because it's been to 1920 gold, and everybody that understands the gold market understands that with these governments printing trillions upon trillions of euros and dollars to hold the dodgy sovereign, you know, the sovereign debt situation up, or the dodgy banks, with the more money that's printed, the more in gold will be worth $2,500, $5,000, I've even heard of $10,000 an ounce for gold. So it's important that people get into control, try to get their pensions back, get out of equities. And of course, oil is a good bet, because sooner or later there's going to be a crisis in the Middle East. But I'm not a financial advisor. I just see visions, and I write about them on my site for the people that read my site, the stock operators, as I call them. And, you know, so that they can make trades and stuff like that. But, yeah, people have to be careful with money, because it's very possible that pensions and so forth will get completely rubbed out. They'll just disappear. They just won't be there suddenly, you know.
So in that case, people really need to take a look and make the decisions that they feel the most comfortable with, but understand that what we know today may not be what happens tomorrow.
Exactly, exactly. It could all disappear fairly overnight. So that's why the recommendations are essentially gold and oil at the moment. And everything else, forget it. It's not going to be there eventually.
You know, there was I believe it was a children's story, but I originally saw it as a movie called The Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about children no longer caring about these fictional characters that were there to tell them their metaphors, their similes, and all. And so the darkness was overtaking them. And sometimes it seems when we're talking about right now is, as you mentioned, this darkness fighting very, very hard to continue to exist old ways. For instance, in the United States, one of our biggest businesses, of course, is war. One of our biggest businesses is the military-industrial complex. I mean, it's big business to us. So when we talk about not having a war, we're threatening a huge infrastructure. It's the same thing when you talk about vegetarianism or being a vegetarian. In the United States, one of the big things we have are the chemical companies infusing products with genetically modified, you know, the GMOs, and trying to own agriculture through chemistry. It seems that is not necessarily the same throughout the rest of the world. Do you find in Australia or other places you've traveled that there is that infusion of the war machine as well as owning the agriculture, which keeps the sustenance from the people?
Well, certainly. I mean, Monsanto and GM Foods, you know, which in Europe are known as Frankenstein Foods, they've made attempts to get into the market, but they've been substantially blocked off. And of course, the consumers are very leery of anything like that. And so it hasn't gone very well for them. And the war machines, you know, Europe is weird because it doesn't really have armies. The British Navy, I mean, 20 years ago had 900 ships, and it now has 60. So 840 ships have been mothballed. So where is the glory of the British Navy? It doesn't exist. It's a few tubs floating around in a bath. So I don't know that Europe really has the ability to go to war. But of course, we do have massive amounts of corporations that build planes and tanks and that sort of stuff. It's fascinating, this idea, like, we have to go to war in order to keep the industries up. Really sad. I mean, it's really sad. And then the whole thing about the hormones in beef is extremely debilitating to human health. I mean, it gives you cancer. So the fact that they fire these cows up with these growth hormones, and then those hormones are ingested by the meat eaters, makes them very, very vulnerable to disease in later life. And some cancers have sort of gone to epidemic proportions. Now, whether that's all to do with the hormones or not, I don't know. But you're best off to try to eat things that don't really have any chemical additives at all.
So then some of the recommendations for people who really want to shift and have not started to, or are in a process of shifting, would really be to take a look at your diet, take a look at your meditative practice, and is there a way to surround yourself in such a way to keep your spiritual or your etheric field healthy?
Well, I mean, one of the great secrets is not to be overweight. And what I tell people to do is I tell them, go to the supermarket and put 8 pounds of butter on your arm, balance them on your arm, and hold them there for a minute or two and see how heavy that 8 pounds of butter is. So then you have to imagine that if you're 8 pounds overweight, that is the effort that your heart has to make to shove that weight around every day. And when you do this 8 pounds of butter trick in the supermarket, you'll soon realize how scary it is. And if you, of course, are 20 pounds overweight or 50 pounds overweight, then you need to stack up both arms with 25 pounds of butter both sides, and you'll soon be on your knees. So it's a very clever way of really getting you in touch with how much effort it takes to hold up this extra weight. And then the other thing I say is that you have to visualize the effort that your heart has to make to squirt blood through 8 pounds of butter. And that's why people die of heart attacks, and that's why they die young, because their heart wears out at the effort of trying to squirt blood through fat. And so that is one of the things that I think is most important, is one, being of a reasonable weight, and two, not consuming too much food, because all the food you eat kills you a little bit. And three, realizing that you've got to protect your heart. If you protect your heart, then you'll be healthy, because it's the oxygen and the blood that keeps you alive, and a lack of oxygen and a lack of blood creates this putrid state in which people get lots and lots of different types of complaints and digestional troubles and irritable bowel syndrome and so forth. So how you get your energy moving faster, not just meditating and not just pondering the light and so forth and walking in nature, but you also get your energy moving faster by getting your body into control.
Good Vibrations Radio will be right back after the top of the hour news and a little music from John Lennon.
Kill.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on AM 540 KRXA.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Now, Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the support of Jacqueline Joy and Diamond Alignment, and Liliana Bethany and Nolan Matthew from Seventh Awakening. Tonight, we're talking with Stuart Wilde, considered by many to be the greatest living metaphysician in the world today. In this extended interview this evening, Stuart shares his visions for 2012, his guidance for how we can continue our journey of awakening and enlightenment, and his recommendations for maintaining your light when all around seems to be darkness. Let's continue our discussion.
The whole thing about the hormones in beef is extremely debilitating to human health. I mean, it gives you cancer. So the fact that they fire these cows up with these growth hormones, and then those hormones are ingested by the meat eaters, makes them very, very vulnerable to disease in later life. And some cancers have sort of gone to epidemic proportions. Now, whether that's all to do with the hormones or not, I don't know. But you're best off to try to eat things that don't really have any chemical additives at all.
So then some of the recommendations for people who really want to shift and have not started to or are in a process of shifting would really be to take a look at your diet, take a look at your meditative practice, and is there a way to surround yourself in such a way to keep your spiritual or your etheric field healthy?
Well, I mean, one of the great secrets is not to be overweight. And what I tell people to do is, I tell them, go to the supermarket and put 8 pounds of butter on your arm, balance them on your arm, and hold them there for a minute or two and see how heavy that 8 pounds of butter is. So then you have to imagine that if you're 8 pounds overweight, that is the effort that your heart has to make to shove that weight around every day. And when you do this 8 pounds of butter trick in the supermarket, you'll soon realize how scary it is. And if you, of course, are 20 pounds overweight or 50 pounds overweight, then you need to stack up both arms with 25 pounds of butter both sides, and you'll soon be on your knees. So it's a very clever way of really getting you in touch with how much effort it takes to hold up this extra weight. And then the other thing I say is that you have to visualize the effort that your heart has to make to squirt blood through 8 pounds of butter. And that's why people die of heart attacks, and that's why they die young, because their heart wears out at the effort of trying to squirt blood through fat. And so that is one of the things that I think is most important, is one, being of a reasonable weight, and two, not consuming too much food, because all the food you eat kills you a little bit. And three, realizing that you've got to protect your heart. If you protect your heart, then you'll be healthy, because it's the oxygen and the blood that keeps you alive, and a lack of oxygen and a lack of blood creates this putrid state in which people get lots and lots of different types of complaints and digestional troubles and irritable bowel syndrome and so forth. So how you get your energy moving faster, not just meditating and not just pondering the light and so forth and walking in nature, but you also get your energy moving faster by getting your body into control. I mean, we fast all the time, and I just finished a 15-day fast about a week ago, and it's not that hard to do. You just sit quiet. On the third day, I was desperate to eat, and on the fifth day, I had a pretty hard day. But by the time I got past the 15th day, I just gracefully moved through each day. And so now I'm on a program with some friends of mine where we eat for 8 days and fast for two, and then eat for 8 days and fast for two. And we're going to try to do that fairly perpetually so that we're always in control and your body doesn't get used to receiving great amounts of food, and then it starts to crave food, and it craves sugars, and it craves more carbohydrates, and you put on weight. But essentially, weight control is the key to everything.
one way that an individual can always be in control of their own life.
Yeah, and also you know that, hey, if there's a rush on the supermarket and the food runs out, you can go 15 days without dropping dead. You've proved it to yourself. That gives you a chance to sort of, you know, walk to Arizona or wherever you're going next, you know, and try to find some food there. You know, you don't need food every day. That's ridiculous. I mean, you have to have liquids. And sometimes on these fasts, we make a broth, and we take the solid vegetables out of the broth, strain them, and just drink the vegetable broth so that the body receives a certain amount of vitamins and minerals along with water. And we use a lot of lemon water as well, so it's a detox agent, cutting the grease in the blood cells. But yeah, being balanced with your weight is the most blessed thing that you can do for your resonance, for your life force etheric, and for your heart. And the idea is protect your heart so that you can live long enough to enjoy the bountiful life that's all around you.
When look at the scope of your work and a lot of what you have expressed to the world and have shared, one of the things that you're a fan of are the Matrix movies, because
yes,
in one sense they seem to visually represent a lot of what you've been expressing, this idea of fields of energy around us, the etheric fields, even the idea of morphing or going beyond what appears to be solid. So would a nice little exercise for people to be, maybe take a look at the Matrix movie and see how that fits into their understanding of the life around them?
Yes, I mean, the first Matrix movie is extraordinarily accurate because it describes a force field that is constructed, and that is constructed out of thoughts and feelings and the media and the status quo and various ideas that they want people to accept. I mean, they sell fear all the time. And it's in their interest to keep people uneasy and edgy and so forth, because then they can pass laws saying, we need the troops on the streets, and we need to arrest people without trial, and we need to create another $1 trillion war. And there is, there's no reason for it. I mean, the BBC did a lovely documentary in which they proved absolutely conclusively that there is no Al-Qaeda, that it is a complete concoction of the American media. And there are certainly freedom fighters, Muslim freedom fighters, and various fighters in Afghanistan, but there is no Al-Qaeda, and the whole of the sort of, you know, industry that's there to sort of defend America from Al-Qaeda, it's just a crock. So in the Matrix, we see these fields of control, we see the sort of demonic nature of control, and we see Mr. Smith and these anal fascists. But they can, with their mind, move into other people. So Smith materializes inside the tramp in the subway station, and it can go into these various people and become or morph into them, and to clone them in the way that, like, a lot of people become part of the fascist movement because they accept ideas that are fascist, because they accept all these various threats and fears that really don't exist. So, for example, Hitler was always ranting and raving about the communists, and so he created this control over Germany by using the communist threat. And so today we have the Al-Qaeda threat, but neither of those threats are real. So the first Matrix movie is extremely real. And then Morpheus and Neo and Trinity, they're in a Camelot dimension inside their craft, and they're being attacked by these inner world beings, the Squiddies. And those inner world beings definitely exist. I mean, there's absolutely no question of it. They're in the hell worlds, and they're projecting pain and disquiet and despair at humans from 18 inches away. So I found the films very fascinating because they very much do represent the nature of the lunar mirror worlds and the nature of the sort of anal fascist control of society. And people have to be brave, and they have to go the other way. They have to click their mind. They just have to click to it. They have to click. If they can click to it, they can see that it's all rubbish, and they need to go in the opposite direction. And that's what I write about on my website and in my books, is the need to turn and go the other way. There's a concept I came up with about 20 years ago called the fringe dwellers. And the fringe dwellers are those people in society whose mind, whose ideas, whose feelings don't resonate with the status quo. Now, they're not terrorists, and they don't seek to burn down City Hall. They're not anarchists. They're just people that know that what they look at out there is complete illusion. It's rubbish. And they probably are not necessarily paid-up members of a religion. They're more likely to have their own ideas or their own religion, or they believe in Gaia and the Tao and nature and so forth. And there were millions, tens of millions of fringe dwellers. And they need to be rescued one day and taken somewhere nice. But there are lots of people out there like that, that are different. And then you look at the Matrix movies and Morpheus and Trinity and the others that are on the ship. They're also fringe dwellers. They don't want to be part of the anal fascist system. And they don't want to be overwhelmed by the squiddies either. So Zion, which is the sort of city, the central city that survives deep in the bowels of the earth in the movie, is a city or a society built of people that have an alternative mindset. And that's brought forth these ideas of, like, dimensions can open up right here in this world where people can go, people can walk into a golden world and leave this cold fascist stuff behind. And I think that's very, very possible, and I think those doorways will open for people eventually.
On December 25th on your blog, you posted a little happy birthday to Jesus, but you also posted a video of John Lennon.
Yes.
Singing, "You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one."
Yes.
"I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one." Would you say John Lennon was a fringe dweller?
Yeah, definitely, because he was very alternative, and he preached love, not war, and he was a man of very, very superior spiritual energy, and he had a very clever, very beautiful sense of the eternity of our humanity and equality and so forth. And "Imagine" is one of the truly great songs of all time. And so sometimes I like to post it on my site so that people remember there's lots of dreamers in the world, there's lots of fringe dwellers, there's lots of people that are into an alternative lifestyle, an alternative culture, and that is a good thing for us. It's a sort of ray of hope.
So perhaps that's the mantra for people to hold on to in 2012. One, as you said, go within. Go within to the sense of take control of your life, your physical life that you have around you, starting with your eating, your rest, your energy. And then don't be afraid that 2012, that the world is coming to an end. Just because the Mayan calendar ends, and they're not selling a new one for you to put forward for 2013.
Yes. I mean, that's all we need, really, is go to the shops and find the next Mayan calendar.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I don't think the world will end in 2012. And then, you know, as I said at the top of the show, at the top of the hour, we may see massive amounts of change this year. And I hope that the fascists and the warmongers don't win the presidential elections. You know, I'm for Ron Paul myself, because he seems the only person that is equitable and fair and respects the Constitution. But if he doesn't win and one of these other fascists get in, then it'll be hard for America, because they're going to take people into a mess. But we can stay calm. We can move away. We can store some food, we can change to diesel cars, we can buy a little gold, we can downsize and not freak out. And the other thing I tell people to do is to take some money out of the bank if they can afford it. Of course, a lot of people don't have a lot of savings in the bank, but, you know, if the banks close or if there's trouble with the banks and the cash machines don't operate, I suggest to people that they have 26 weeks' worth of money in cash somewhere, like under the bed or tucked into the roof of the garage or something. So if you take out, let's say, $200 a week for groceries for your family, then you need $5,200 in cash. But it's very important that people have a certain amount of cash in hand if they can, you know, if they can. And, of course, I understand a lot of people just don't have that kind of money. But if they can have a certain amount of cash, that will also help you in the event of a crisis or in the event of the ATM machines going down, because the banks are going down.
So how do the fringe dwellers find other fringe dwellers? Should they gather together, or should they just be comfortable in their personal journey?
Well, I think they should be comfortable in their personal journey, but it doesn't do any harm if you join the local meditation group, or, you know, there's a lot of sort of fairly new age churches in America and conferences and so forth where you can meet people of like mind, you know, those mind, body, spirit festivals. And I mean, it's just a matter of reaching out a little bit and maybe going to your local store and getting a copy of the local New Age paper or the alternative paper, and find people that are interested in the things that you're interested in, like how to build a log home or how to grow an organic garden or whatever your interests are. So it isn't like the fringe dwellers are necessarily isolated, because there's a vast society of them, and the society has conferences, lectures, seminars, they print magazines and newspapers and write books, and so it's not like it's difficult to find.
But we want to remind folks that they can find additional information, once again, at stuartwild.com, where you have not only your blogs, but you have your books and that you've shared and developed through the years. There's also some audio where you have a meditation, as well as some music that people can use as part of their process. It's often been said that one of the best things we can do is to take a look at what we've surrounded ourselves with our lives and say, okay, what's working for me and what's not? And that may even include the friends we've gathered along the way. I'm not saying we should be brutal or bitter toward friends, but we have to kind of assess, is this a friend that's coming along with me on my journey, or is this a friend from 10 years ago that I still have around me? And so I need to know where I have my support groups. And that's why I asked what the fringe dwellers can do, and you gave some good recommendations. But do you see, as we go into 2012, as we go more internal, that we should be making those assessments about what have we surrounded ourselves with, because that's giving us energy as well?
I think that's very true and very wise. I mean, there's a lot of friends that are wonderful and supportive and loving, and you'll probably have them for the rest of your days. But friends change, and they go dark and devious and bitter, and they rip you off and, you know, gossip about you and borrow your lawnmower and don't give it back and so forth. And it's so important, really, to be equitable with people. But also you can say, hey, guy, you know, like, I've loved you for many years and you took my lawnmower and didn't give it back. And, you know, I really prefer if you don't come around anymore. So you can pick and choose, as long as you don't judge people, rant and rave and scream and bear false witness against them and so on and so forth. But yeah, it's fine to walk away. It's fine to walk away from a job or people or your relatives or your spouse or whatever if they're causing you so much disquiet and so much emotional damage, and you're sitting there thinking about the stupid lawnmower for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's better to let the people go and let them have the stupid lawnmower and be free. So yes, at times you have to be discriminating and you have to make choices. But if you choose to walk away, that isn't so much a judgment on the people that you're walking away from. You're just saying, look, these guys down at the pub are a bunch of gangsters, and I don't think really that's what I want to be aligned to, and you don't go back to the pub, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you necessarily are judging people, but you definitely sometimes need to drop the mother-in-law off at the bus stop and get her a bus to, you know, whoop-whoop. And that's a necessary thing, and it protects you, because the more you're surrounded by disquiet and dysfunction and emotion and rip-offs and nastiness and so on, the more horrid your life will be.
So would it be fair to say, from your perspective, 2012 is no different a year than any other year in the regards of what it's coming? Now, what's going on may be different, but that's because of different times and change and energy going on right now.
And yes, I think that's a very valid way of describing it. I mean, 2012 would be just like 2011. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, there are these situations developing. The financial crisis in Europe will affect America. The wars will affect America and Europe. The oil crisis will affect the globe. And then we don't know what else is coming. I mean, there's a sort of underground rumbling in the inner worlds that I've been watching for like maybe 4 or 5 years of the avian flu pandemic. And so that may come forward and create one more challenge for people. But Yeah, essentially, it's all going to be there, much as it ever was, and the birds are going to sing in the trees, and the horses are going to be in the fields, and the rain's going to fall, and the sun's going to shine, and there's a big wave in Hawaii that you can catch if you're a, you know, surfer, and yeah, it's it, and people are going to fall in love, and they're going to have babies, and that stuff, and then some people are going to be driving their mother-in-law around at the bus stop and shaking her hand and wishing her well. So there's a great plethora of stuff that's possible.
How much do you feel that we create our own reality in this world?
Oh, very much so. I mean, not only because our emotions are very powerful and they act as a sort of pulse or a generator, but I definitely believe that we create our own reality. There was a time in 2001 when 10,000 pictures appeared on my skin, and they came through the skin one every few minutes for 5 months. And it was a little bird, and it was a Christian cross, and then it was a Buddha, then it was the Julia set, then it was a constellation, then it was a little lion with a halo. And they kept coming and changing. And they would prickle, they'd last for 10 or 15 minutes, and then the image would disappear and a new one would come up. And I had them all over my arms, my chest, and my back. And they went day and night, day and night. Now, during that time, we found that my friends could stand across the room and they could project images onto my skin when I had my shirt off. So I'd be sitting on the bed with my shirt off and they'd be firing their mind towards me from 4 or 5 yards away. And they would say, 2 circles and a triangle. And they would visualize 2 circles and a triangle and it would appear on my skin. Or they would visualize, 3 parallel lines and a diagonal cross line and that would appear on my skin. So we had absolute proof of the power of the mind to create reality, albeit it was just a picture on my skin, but they could do it over and over and over again. And that ability only lasted for a few days, but it was there to show us you can create reality with your mind, and you can also create how you experience reality. So one person could be standing in the rain, and they could be absolutely crazy, fit to be tied, about to storm, the bus. And another person could be sitting in the rain and they're absolutely calm and gentle and they love the rain and they listen to the sound of it, beating against the roof of the bus stop shelter. And it's just a matter of attitude. So in a way, you can create your reality by changing your attitude, but you can also definitely impact reality with your mind.
So then it's fair to say that in 2012, what people really need to focus on is where do they want to be this time next year? Versus
yeah.
What other people are saying is coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's a year of retreat. Retreat to your loved ones and your friends and scale down and work out where you're going to go and what you're going to do. Not in fear, but in knowing that you're going to need people around you and we have to love and support each other. And then again, what you don't need is a whole busload of freeloaders as well. So it's always sort of like, what are your deep intrinsic values? And maybe you find, hey, shooting pool with your brother is more fun than razzmatazz and going to Las Vegas and spending a lot of money. You just enjoy going downtown and shooting a beer at a pool or hanging out or whatever it might be. And so I think people have to go to what is intrinsically pleasing and inexpensive and pull in that way and not allow the ego to carry them towards consumerism and overspending and debt and difficulties.
Do you have any products that you feel would help them more during this time? I've noticed the meditations. You have an Avalon Protection Prayer.
Yeah, I have some of those products, like the Avalon Protection Prayer, and it definitely works. It puts these fractal codes around you that are very celestial and gentle, and it allows you to sort of go through a metamorphosis from, say, the hecticness of being at the office and traveling to work and then coming home and listening to that. I know people that play the protection prayer in their house very, very softly, 24/7. So people can go to the audio section and see what's there and see if they fancy it. I mean, some of the downloads are like pay what you want, and some of my downloads are like $4. But, I mean, they're not huge amounts of money. And they can have those celestial feelings around them, and that brings them a safety, and it brings them a calm, and there's a celestial beauty. They open up to the heaven worlds, even though they can't necessarily see them, but they'll feel the inspiration of knowing, hey, it's going to be okay, and everything's going to be fine. And, they may have to do stuff in the practical world, you know, sell the extra car, get rid of the snowmobile, you know, stuff that they feel they're not going to need, and then pare down and get ready, you know. It's all going to be fine, but it's going to change.
Change is guaranteed.
Change is guaranteed.
So, Kirilani, I apologize that I've been talking so much. Was there anything you wanted to touch in with Stuart?
You asked a lot of the questions that I was going to ask at the time I was going to ask them. There was one that was lingering with me because vibrationally 2012 is about change. It's about freedom, ultimately. And in your book, God's Gladiators, you talk about the slavery that largely we live in with the prison we've created with our mind and our emotions. Do you have any other tips for people who really have a desire to free themselves from all of that this year?
I think it's very important for people not to attach too strongly to the old things. So just because you went to, I don't know, the works outing every year for 20 years, it doesn't necessarily mean you've got to go this year. People become creatures of habit and they feel obligated. They've got to go at Thanksgiving and eat this turkey, which they don't want to eat, and so forth. So I tell people, hey, click to it. Click your mind to a new you. Turn and walk away. Turn and go the other way. You can set yourself free. All right, you may not have as much money as before, but you may also not have as many things to sustain. So sometimes just walking away liberates you enormously, and you feel this massive weight come off your shoulder. So move towards the things that are light, that are beautiful, that sustain you, that excite you, and move away anything that is heavy or dark or onerous or stuffs you into an obligation that you don't want to be in, and gradually unravel your life. It's like a cat's cradle of twine that's all been sort of jumbled up, and you've just got to very carefully pick the little bits of twine out of the knots and unravel everything, and then you walk away and leave for Hawaii or wherever you're going, you know?
And I think sometimes, you know, we think that there are all these things that we really have to do, and if we examine them or even just experiment with just try not doing them, as we go through this process of examining the things that give us more energy, that move us toward the light, and we're looking at how to simplify our life or how to reduce those things that are the heavy things, there's a lot of things in those lists that attached to them are, I have to do this. And all the little rules that have been built up over time of all the things we have to do. And it's a good year to experiment then with just try not doing them to see what happens. Because a lot of times these limitations we've built up in our head aren't based on real evidence. They're based on our expectations of ourselves, our expectations of each other. By not doing them, you give the other people around you the freedom to not do them also.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. I have a concept in my book called Minimal Movement, and that's attempting to sort of break things down to what is the least that you have to do. So driving all over town looking for stuff isn't minimal movement. Maybe going on the internet to find what you want and ordering it through the mail is minimal movement. So minimal movement is completing tasks by using the least amount of energy. And often when you find yourself running around and you're really scatty and you don't have enough time, it's very symbolic of being out of control. And so I tell people, hey, cut away that stuff that drives you crazy, that possesses you, and come back inside and do less, not more, and do more of the good stuff. Because like most of your money comes from certain actions and certain people, and a lot of your actions get you no money at all. In fact, they cost you money. So minimal movement is getting very clear about what works and what doesn't, and going towards the things that sustain you and doing plenty of the things that sustain you and very few of the things that debilitate you.
Which is wonderful for this time period, because with time accelerating so much, it feels like you blink and a week goes by. So yeah. You almost have to simplify and let go of those things that aren't necessary anymore.
Yeah, that's vital. It's so vital. And everybody knows what feels painful, because it's there. It's obvious. It's completely obvious. And they don't want to go bowling Friday night, even though they've gone every Friday night for 10 years. They think about it, and it feels dark and heavy, and they don't want to go, and then they feel obligated. well, hey, just call your friends and say, look, I'm really sorry, but I can't make it. I've changed my mind. So it's okay to change, and it's okay to cut things away, and it's okay to discontinue habits, and it's okay to sell all the rubbish in the garage, and it's okay to dump the mother-in-law off at the bus stop. Yep, all that good stuff.
And as we start doing this, what Salazar and I have seen is a lot of the things that we thought to be true were not.
Yeah.
And that a lot of things that we thought were real were not. It goes back to really kind of decoding that matrix and just one step at a time cutting each of those chains.
Well, yeah, I mean, the matrix is there to con you into supporting the matrix. But the matrix is substantially lies. It's unbelievable amounts of lies. And the TV is there to promote the status quo, and the status quo is for itself, not for citizens. And we soon can get in touch with, wait a minute, this doesn't work for me at all. And you can move beyond it gradually.
Well, thank you for all of the wonderful information that you've shared with us and tips for people and all of the work that you're sharing with the world. We really appreciate you taking the time with us.
Well, I'm very honored to be on this show. Thank you very much for having invited me on.
That concludes our interview with Stuart Wild. Stuart passed so much great information. However, there's a couple of pieces that I would like to add on to what Stuart spoke about. Astrologically, the new year begins with tension, with the Sun and Moon square occupying Uranus and Pluto. Now, between the hype about 2012 and the Mayan calendar, there's an apprehensive energy that will make things appear to be harder, and in some cases, they will be harder than they have to be. This is the time to release control. This is the time to do, as Kirilani suggested, and go with the flow. Don't fight the river. Don't swim against the current. Allow the current to carry you and go with the flow. Tonight, begin your practice of releasing attachment to your past routines, your past patterns, and your past beliefs. As Stuart mentioned several times, it's time to go within and release that which you have gathered without. It's time to collect within your family and those who are closest with you. It's time to take a look at that circle of friends around you and say, is this a supportive group, or is it a group that's holding me back from continuing my journey? In other words, get rid of the things you've collected that don't serve you. Get rid of the needing to have as a definition of being. Tonight is the first night of revolutionary change. The world we know will not exist in the same way a year from now. The question for all of us is, where do you want to be in your life a year from now? And what are you willing to do to make that happen? Now is the time to do what's necessary. Earl Nightingale, the dean of the personal development industry, told us, all you need is the plan, the roadmap, and the courage to press on to your destination. So tonight, I toast your courage to press on to your destination to create the world you want to live in a year from today. Many blessings for your journey. And we will be right back right here on AM 540 KRXA right after this.
Hey gang, this is Nolan from the Circle of Light, a monthly community event for those seeking to expand their consciousness and connect with other adventurous souls on the path of awakening. On the third Friday of each month, doors open at 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road in Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. General admission is $11 at the door, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more info.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on AM 540 KRXA.
Let's all get in a comfortable place. Let's get ourselves ready so we can create something new,
more powerful in our lives in this coming year. Get yourself comfortable. If you're driving, give us your intention, not your focus. For everyone else, give us your intention and focus. Go ahead and breathe in. Know that each breath in is that breath of life coming in that is a clearing. And each breath out, as we release it through our mouth, as we release that breath out, is releasing all the stress and tension and worry and care. So breathe in, out, in, out. Breathe in and out. And go ahead and close your eyes. Keep breathing in and pay attention to the rhythm of your breathing. Feel that rhythm coming in and out. Each breath out releases more of the stress and the tension and the worry. Each breath in is that life-giving air, that goodness, that clearing. And let us go now from this place of comfort as we breathe in and out and our eyes are closed. Let's listen as Kirilani takes us on a meditation journey.
And now imagine yourself on a beautiful white sand beach. And it's nighttime and the sky is dark like velvet. There's a full moon shining down on you, shining on the waves as they crash against the beach. And you can feel a gentle breeze on your skin. And yet it's warm and comforting. And breathe deeply now and smell the smells of the ocean, the freshness. And the moon illuminates your path. And you follow that path now, and in front of you is a house. Walk up to that house and open the door. And walk up the stairs and down the hall. And at the end of the hallway, there's a doorway. Open the door and step inside. This is the studio where you do the work of your dreams. It's a place that's just for you. And sit down now and invite into your studio all your angels and masters and guides, all your animal totems, your Amakua, the loved ones that support you. Ask them to be with you now. And in the corner of your studio, there's a beautiful fireplace, and someone's made a nice fire for you to keep you warm and comfortable. And now gaze into the flames of that fire. Just go deeply into the flame, setting your focus and intention there. And now draw the energy of those flames into your heart. Breathe deeply and draw the energy of the flame into your solar plexus. And as it does this, it ignites that flame inside of your heart and your solar plexus, filling you with love, filling you with the life force. And as you breathe in deeply, send this energy to every cell in your body, lighting up each cell with vibrancy. Breathe deeply again and shoot that energy both out your feet and out the top of your head. And breathe in deeply again and shoot that energy out each of your palms of your hands. And breathe in deeply again. And at each breath, that light and life force inside of you magnifies. And visualize it filling the room. And now extending out beyond the house, out into the universe, connecting with the moon, connecting with every star, connecting with every being that you love, connecting with every being whose heart is open. And as you do this, you feel yourself getting lighter. And you realize now that from this new place, all of your seeds for next year are being planted in this rich and fertile ground, blessed with light and love. You can stand up now and start heading out of your studio. Close the door behind you and walk down the hall, down the stairs, and out the front door, back down the path. And the moon is even brighter now. And you can see the stars sparkling with brilliance, lighting up the phosphorescence in the waves. And know that your presence brings that sparkle and light to the world. And you feel the breeze on your skin. And you're back to where you began.
Go ahead and focus on your breathing again. Breathing in, breathing out. I'll count from 1 to 5. When we get to 5, you can open your eyes. 1, you're starting to come back and you're getting a sense of presence. 2, you feel yourself being calm and peaceful as you start feeling yourself more in the physical presence. 3, you're almost back now. Your eyes are relaxing, but they're still closed. 4, you can start opening your eyes now. And 5, you're back in the present place. I want to thank you for taking this meditative journey with us.
As we close this New Year's Eve show tonight, we want to listen once again to the words of legendary broadcaster Harry Harrison as he wishes us all the best for the new year. And we'll close with the music of the Impressions to their wonderful People Get Ready. 2012 is here. Are you ready? Thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with more Good Vibrations Radio. Happy New Year.
Ring out the old year and sweethearts kiss, and cold hands touch and warm each other against the year ahead. May I wish you not the biggest and best of life, but the small pleasures that make living worthwhile. Sometime during the new year, to keep your heart in practice, may you do someone a secret good deed and not get caught at it. May you find a little island of time to read that book and write that letter and to visit that lonely friend on the other side of town. May your next do-it-yourself project not look like you did it yourself. May the poor relatives you help support remember you when they win the lottery. May your best card tricks win admiring gasps and your worst puns admiring groans. May all those who told you so refrain from saying, "I told you so." May all the predictions you've made for your firstborn's future come true. May just half of those optimistic predictions that your high school annual made for you come true. In a time of sink or swim, may you find you can walk the shore before you call the lifeguard. May you keep at least one ideal you can pass along to your kids. And for a change, some rainy day when you're a few minutes late, may your train or bus be waiting for you. May you accidentally overhear someone saying something nice about you. If you run into an old school chum, may you both remember each other's names for introductions. If you order your steak medium rare, may it be so. And if you're on a diet, may someone tell you, you've lost a little weight without knowing you are on a diet. May that long and lonely night be brightened by the telephone call that you've been waiting for. And when you reach into the coin slot, may you find the coin that you lost on your last wrong number. When you trip and fall, may there be no one watching to laugh at you or feel sorry for you. And sometime soon, may you be waved to by a celebrity, wagged at by a puppy, run to by a happy child, and counted on by someone you love. More than this, no one can wish you. Happy holidays from Harry Harrison.
We want to thank our sponsors, Jacqueline Joy with Diamond Alignment.
We want to thank Liliana Bethany and Nolan Matthew from Seventh Awakening and the Circle of Light. And until next time, turn some lead into gold. Stay tuned for the Quantum Leap.
Get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to join. Coast to coast, faith is the key. Open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among those loved the most.
We were to talk about education in George Carlin terms, it would sound something like this.
There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls.
The Quantum Leap on KRXA 540.
Hey, 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 San Francisco Bay, Monterey, my name is Alex Andrew.
And I'm Shelley Renee.
And we're here every Saturday morning at KRXA 540 AM on your dial.
We're the perfect complement to your cup of joe.
At 9:30 in the morning on Saturday.
We have some great guests like Pamela.
But yeah, her name's Pamela, honey.
Well, she was a hand reader, so it works
well,
for me.
Well, hey, you know what? We got other great guests, too, about health, wealth, and family.
So. We open your mind and get you thinking out of the box.
Yes, because it's all about the show. You're the director.
And this is your life.
Tune in 9:30 AM Saturday morning.
I'm Dennis Taylor, boxing writer for the Monterey Herald.
And I'm Irish Joe O'Rourke, columnist on the web at ringsideboxingshow.com.
Join us Sundays at 4, right here on KRXA, for the Ringside Boxing Show.
We'll update you on all the boxing news from Salinas, California to Sydney, Australia at 4 p.m. on Sundays. And we'll interview a world-famous guest every week on the Ringside Boxing Show.
Sundays at 4 on KRXA 540 and worldwide via the internet at KRXA540.com.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself. Hal here, and I want you to know about my favorite new restaurant, Mon Chai in Carmel's Barnyard. Mon Chai proudly serves Vietnamese vegetarian cuisine. Owner Nikki Nguyen's menu includes only the freshest organic tofu and dishes with no MSG, no wheat, and no gluten. Mon Chai's low-fat, low-cholesterol meals are prepared from scratch by Buddhist nuns. For meat lovers, Mon Chai serves delicious spiced alternatives prepared from soy, seaweed, and yams. Mon Chai is open Monday through Saturday for lunch at 11 and serves dinner until 9 in the evening. It is 100% handicap accessible. For takeout or reservations, call Mon Chai at 831-622-7777. Mon Chai is spelled M-O-N-C-H-A-Y. Check out Mon Chai's great reviews at Yelp and dine under the benevolent gaze of the famous Golden Buddha. Call 831-622-7777. You know how health conscious I am. By eating at Mon Chai, I know I'll be riding my bicycle for many decades to come.
Monday, 5:06 p.m.
Hello, I was just calling. I live up in Los Banos. If you guys could turn up your signal, it would be really appreciated. And, you know, what I'd really like you to do is put a nice big tower up on a hill someplace and beam down into the Central Valley so we could get you when we're driving back and forth in the Central Valley. So turn up your signal, keep up the great work, and thanks so much for the great programming. We need you. Don't go away, please. Okay, bye-bye.
End of messages.
You're listening to the voice of the occupation, KRXA.